Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for dialing in, and welcome to First Shipley Trust second quarter results conference call. My name is Sayani, and I am the Investor and Public Relations Manager for FSL Trust Management, the Trustee Manager of First Shipley Trust. I'm here with Mr. Allan Hatton, our CEO, and Mr. Philip Tan, our CFO. We have announced our results yesterday evening, and the relevant materials are accessible from our website at www.fsltrust.com or from the SGX website. Allan will begin today's session with a presentation of our results, and thereafter, he and Philip will take your questions. Before we begin, let me remind you, everyone, that today's discussion contains forward-looking statements based on the environment as we currently see, and as such, does include risk and uncertainties. With that, let me now hand it over to Allan.
Good morning. Excuse me. Thank you for joining the call. I hope you've been able to find the conference call presentation that has been posted on our website, and I'll be using that as our aid to run through our results for the second quarter 2014. To review the half year, this is the first slide. We feel we've achieved some significant milestones in the last 6 months, or the first 6 months of the year, and that those build on some of the hard work that was done from August to December last year. Those significant milestones include the successful negotiation of an extension of our covenant relaxation with lenders, which was agreed at the end of February and then executed during the second quarter. In March, as you may well be aware, we disposed of two 15-year-old and loss-making dry bulk vessels. This reduced our capital expenditure exposure for the first quarter and also reduced our cost of debt by both reducing the debt principal and therefore the interest that we had to pay on that principal, and also because through the negotiation of the covenant relaxation with the lenders, we managed to also secure a reduced debt repayment profile for Q1 and Q2. That, as you may have seen from the results, has been worth effectively $5.3 million to the trust in terms of reduced cost of debt service due to the contribution of the proceeds of that sale to the near-term debt profile repayments. In June, at the end of June, start of July, we were very glad to announce and welcome Philip Tan to our team. That now rounds out our senior management team, and we obviously spent some time looking for the right candidate to come in and to add to the team that we have in the trust. He will his position is Chief Financial Officer, and he.
Hello.
Oh, I think the line is good.
The line's fine. It just came back on again. So this is Jonathan from ICM. You could cut out at when you were introducing Philip, and then it's come back again now.
Okay.
Well, I'm still here. Hello?
Could you just hold a moment while I give Tayani a call, and then try and find out? I think they're having some technical difficulties on their end.
Sure.
And that's due to effectively better deployment of the vessels or improved performance in the markets that our vessels with some spot exposure are in, and also due to the fact that an awful lot of effort has been made to improve the condition and the technical management of the vessels, and therefore they're earning more pool points in pools that they're in, and so they're capturing a bigger proportion of the returns in the pools that they are currently being employed in. The first quarterly profit of $1 million obviously represents a significant uplift from a loss of $7.2 million previously. The main reasons behind that are several fold, as well as the increase in revenues, because we had no further redeliveries or other issues last quarter there was no impairment charges, and the depreciation schedule has changed slightly because vessels have moved year on year from the long-term bareboat charters into our more obviously time charter and pool deployed fleet, and the depreciation treatment of that slightly alters. Our other operating expenses, and that includes a range of things from finance expenses to legal and professional fees, etc., has fallen significantly. The finance expenses that have fallen have done so for several reasons. Fundamentally, that's due to a reduction in the level of debt principal, and that was obviously one thing that we wanted to focus on quite sharply when we came in last year, in terms of trying to manage the level of debt from our secured lenders. Through the sale of the two dry bulk vessels in the first quarter, and through our standard repayment profile, you know, we've reduced our leverage reasonably significantly over the course of the this quarter and the last few months, and also that benefit has been compounded by the fact that some of our older long-term swaps on the interest rate exposure have lapsed, so it's reduced our effective interest cost across the facility. The other benefit from a financial perspective, obviously, is that we now, having had the relationship with the lenders fully documented and executed in terms of the further loan covenant extension, that means that we are very confident and comfortable reclassifying all of our long-term liabilities in relation to that debt facility as long-term liabilities, and therefore the balance sheet now looks more as it did previously, prior to the issues that we'd had in discussions with the lenders. Page 4 shows headline performance review. As you can see, the numbers are strong. Revenue's up. There's a profit for the first time. Net cash generated from operations is up significantly. That's due to, as I say, several different things. Reduced finance cost is certainly a part of that. But what's important here, I think, is not just the fact that the net cash generated from operations is significant, $12.8 million. It would also be enough on the basis of that quarter to allow, once we become compliant and are allowed to by our lenders distribute again, that would be enough cash flow to start effecting a distribution over and above the debt service that we're required to pay, or the repayment that we're required to pay each quarter. So not only is that a significant step in the right direction in absolute terms, in the terms of what does that mean with regard to potential future distribution, it means that this quarter has exhibited enough cash generation to be able to affect a distribution going forward should those numbers remain at that level. And obviously there's also a significant increase in operating profit. In terms of how we now profile in terms of revenue, we thought it would be useful to look at the makeup of that revenue line and show how we are still, you know, very driven by our existing long-term bareboat charters, that they are still a very large proportion of our revenue. They, you know, are, as we've said previously, you know, we're very comfortable with the long-term bareboat charter relationships that we have. There are now, going into Q4, the first month of Q4 effectively, we saw one of those naturally lapse, which is the Scholar relationship, the Scholar vessels, the old Cape Pharaoh and Cape Falcon, which are renamed the FSL Santos and Busan, have come back into the fleet now, and so there will be a change in income levels in Q3, but in terms of Q2, they were on those original bareboats. And then also we've got our bareboats with Yangming on 3 Panamax container ships, with Evergreen on 2 Panamax container ships, and with James Fisher on 7 small and specialized product tankers. As you'll see from the chart on page 5, the proportion of income that we are now generating from that redelivered part of the fleet, from the pool and time charter income, shows two things really. One, obviously, that we are generating much better returns in that in both of those markets. Some of that is purely, obviously, the substitution from bareboat to each of those. You know, specifically quarter from second quarter 2013, there is the addition of one vessel, the Hong Kong in the pooling and the Shanghai in the time charter, which is effectively, you know, due to the default from Geddon last year and the ships coming back into the fleet. So there will be a natural expansion, but over and above that, the underlying performance of the vessels that have been certainly in the pools has been improved on a ship-by-ship basis as well. We, you know, are now comfortable and confident with our revenue makeup in this respect because we feel that the time charter and the pool parts of our income streams are exposed to markets with good fundamentals, and we feel that there could be, you know, significant revenue expansion over the coming periods from improved performance of the ships that we have deployed in those markets. Page 6 deals with our bareboat lease revenue backlog, and I think this is a slide that appears regularly in all our different presentations to give you a feel for the secured revenue stream that we will enjoy going forward. Please note that this is purely based on the 14 bareboat charters that are at the old original fixed terms, so that again is with the counterparties that I mentioned earlier. We do also have secured contract revenue from Tesoro now with the deal on the FSL Shanghai that was signed and that started in July, and then also on the two time charters for the MRs that we have in the fleet, which are with Petrobras for another year at least, and that secured contracted revenue adds about another $15.6 million to our book going forward, and that would all be between 2014 and 2015. Page 7 shows the profile and maturity of leases. This was as at the 30th of June, and as you can see, the Cape Faro and the Cape Falcon at the top of that, their leases were maturing in July, and subsequently the vessels have been returned to us. They are now being deployed in a similar way from the perspective that they are in a direct pool where they were being pooled before, and so we now will get a pooled return on those vessels with I think in a pool of about 30 different feeder vessels. It's a part of the container market that we are comfortable with some exposure to. We feel that the fundamentals there are much stronger than, say, the Panamaxes due to the development of more hub-and-spoke and intra-regional trades around the larger ships and the forming alliances. To summarize, I think the key takeaways from the results are that now, with Philip Tan joining, we have a full-strength management team in place. It's taken a while, but we feel that we're justified in taking that time to find the right team to carry the trust forward. We've got a fully deployed portfolio of vessels, and Q2 showed effectively full utilization and really, you know, how the trust can generate a return with the fleet that it has when things are working well. We feel that there's been some successful steps taken in terms of the restructuring process with regard to the trust at the moment. The milestones that I ran through earlier have now provided us with a position where we've stabilized the platform, and, you know, we now look forward to seeing ways in which we can improve the position and start delivering a return to unit holders. And obviously, the quarter exhibits improved financial performance. Going forward, we are obviously compliant with our loan covenant schedule agreed with the lenders, so the relaxation is in place until the end of the year, and, you know, we remain in contact with our lenders in terms of ways in which we can solve or move forward on the issues that will challenge us at the end of that period. We have a balanced portfolio of ships. We've got exposure on the spot markets and in vessels coming back off TC at interesting times in markets that we feel will support better earnings going forward. And we also have stable cash flow from bareboat charters in probably the more difficult sectors at the moment. I mean, the Panamax container ship sector is under a lot of pressure, and for us to have two very strong counterparties for the vessels in those markets is very helpful. And not least, it's beneficial from we were in discussions with one of our counterparties in terms of modifying some of the ships in order to make them more economic and more speed and consumption friendly. And that would be at the counterparty's cost. So that is, again, another good development, and a development that would show that we not only should have confidence in the underlying performance of the business that we are in a relationship with, but also that they're looking at this as a long-term relationship, and that they're looking to deploy cash themselves to improve the performance of these vessels over the long-term life of their boat leases. We're now focused or with renewed focus on trying to deliver a return, first and foremost trying to ensure that we're producing results as very similar to this set, where we're showing a real turnaround in the fortunes of the trust from the perspective of firstly posting a profit for the first time since the third quarter in 2011, and also showing much stronger cash generation. We certainly don't rest on our laurels. There's a lot of work to do, and we need to move forward. But this shows that the trust is viable, and that we feel that we've secured a strong platform at the moment to look to move the trust forward, work with our lenders and potentially other counterparties to solve issues on our capital structure, and then look to grow and deliver value to our unit holders. Thank you very much for dialing in, and I'll take any questions. Thank you.